hands, everybody, if you got what it takes. Cause I'm Curtis Blow, and I want you to know that these are the breaks.
Here are the WGXC headlines for Wednesday, March 8th. Global stock shares were mostly lower on March 8th as investors worried that the Federal Reserve in the United States will raise interest rates faster in an attempt to lower inflation. Oklahoma voters decided against legalizing cannabis there in a vote on March 7th. Five women denied abortion care are suing the state of Texas over their law, while Florida Republicans are trying to ban all abortions there after just 6 weeks of pregnancy. New York Senator Chuck Schumer says he is demanding major freight railroad companies answer, quote, basic information, unquote, about safety protocols. On March 9th, Columbia County's public transportation service expands, adding a new run of its shopping shuttle bus from 6:45 a.m. to 8 a.m. Monday through Saturday, and another on Sundays from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. And Republicans in Columbia County have formed a new group, the Republican Women of Columbia County.
This is Darian Sahanaja of the band known as Wonderments, and you're listening to 90.7 FM, WGXC Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show, an hour of information, news, music, and more. And tune in today for some solar weather news. We also have the national news from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate, plus some local music and more. It all starts after Jason Martin from Troy finishes singing this song. Then it's time for the local news on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the network, network.
On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network.
This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news. This is the network.
This is the
news.
This is the network.
You can find out about so many local events, like the traditional Irish music session. Every Sunday, there's an open Irish music jam at the Shamrock House in East Durham from 2 to 5 p.m. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org and add your own event to the WGXC community calendar and have it read on the radio at 90.7 FM by going to WGXC.org and clicking on the community calendar.
Do you have 17 cents a day to support a platform for many diverse voices to have their say on the local airwaves? Just 17 cents a day, a monthly $5 recurring donation, can help keep local youth on the air at WGXC 90.7 FM. Your monthly sustaining support will keep the airwaves full of music from around the world and around the corner. WGXC needs 500 sustaining supporters to make sure there is one spot on the dial where the community can have access to its own airwaves. Make your pledge today at WGXC.org/donate and do your part to protect an important source of local news, information, and entertainment. With just 17 cents a day, you will do your part to protect your favorite frequency. Become a sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org/donate now.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jeff Economy of Kingston, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Daily News. C-SPAN reports that New York Senator Chuck Schumer condemned Fox News host Tucker Carlson on March 7th for downplaying the January 6th attack on the Capitol and accused him of, and I quote, siding with the enemies of democracy, end quote, and propagating the, and I quote, big lie, end quote, that the 2020 election was stolen. On March 6th, Carlson played specially edited video of the attempted coup on his Fox News show after House Speaker Kevin McCarthy gave him thousands of hours of footage. Schumer also criticized McCarthy.
Speaker McCarthy is every bit as culpable as Mr. Carlson. Speaker McCarthy's decision to share security footage with Fox looked like a mistake from the very beginning, but after last night, it looks like a disaster. Speaker McCarthy has played a treacherous game by catering to the hard right. He's enabled the big lie and has further eroded away at our precious democracy.
Read more about this story at the C-SPAN website. On March 7th, Governor Kathy Hochul reported 34 deaths in New York from March 4th to March 6th from COVID-19. On March 6th, the Greene County Public Health Department reported two more deaths, bringing the total there to 155. Hochul said, and I quote, "I urge every New Yorker to remain vigilant and continue to use all available tools to keep themselves, their loved ones, and their communities safe and healthy. Stay up to date on vaccine doses and be sure to test before gatherings or travel. If you test positive, talk to your doctor about potential treatment options." End quote. Hochul's government is not doing much, though, to stop the spread of COVID-19, only boasting about, and I quote, a 12-week campaign on television, social media, and streaming services to encourage New Yorkers with underlying medical conditions to recognize the importance of getting and staying up to date with recommended COVID-19 bivalent booster, end quote. Nancy Kern reports for Columbia Greene Media that the Columbia Greene Community College cannabis classes have been a big hit with students since they began last fall. Carly Drummer, the school's president, said, and I quote, "One of our most popular micro-credentials is in cannabis. Cannabis retail sales and cultivation has been an incredibly popular course since the legalization of marijuana," end quote. New York legalized cannabis in April 2021 and was expected to have many retail stores open by the end of the year. Instead, two stores are currently open in New York City and one in Binghamton. A lawsuit is currently delaying stores opening in five regions of the state, including the Hudson Valley. Even without local cannabis retail locations, the classes are popular. Maureen Sager, the college's communications director, said, and I quote, "I think that the cannabis program was a chance for people to see a new career path. There were so many people during COVID who emerged with a new idea for what to do," end quote. Columbia Greene College reports a 12% increase in students this year and hosts a new open house on March 25th. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. Jamal Cutler reports for Columbia Greene Media, the Friends of Hudson Youth Group raised over $56,000 for the Hudson Youth Department Waterfront Program and the Hudson Fire Department Rescue and Dive Team March 5th at the annual Oakdale Lake Plunge. The event, delayed one day because of a winter storm, had 120 people jumping into frigid water to raise money for the charities. Friends of Hudson Youth Board President Peter Frank said, and I quote, so many people contribute and care about the event and the organization it supports. We had over 400 individual donations, and the event just raises more money every year. It's a wonderful way for the community to come together at a time of year where there aren't a lot of events or opportunities like this, and it represents the real cross-section of Hudson because so many people in the community participate, end quote. Read more about this story at HudsonValley360.com. And that wraps up the WGXC Daily News. You can visit our website at WGXC.org for local weather updates, public meetings, a community calendar, or COVID-19 updates. And while you're there, please click on the donate button to become a WGXC sustaining supporter or make a one-time donation. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Wednesday, March 8th. Local early morning temperatures range from 17 degrees in Tannersville to 28 degrees in Red Hook. Regional average soil temperature is 33. The gusts are gone, but ground winds are still pretty strong, expected to be about 16 miles per hour all day. Coupled with some cloudy skies, that will keep conditions at frigid with a high temperature of 29 degrees at 1 p.m. You know what that means, wrap up if you're heading outside. Overnight, still breezy, and we dip slightly to 23 degrees. Tomorrow, a little less windy with a high of 30. Overnight, we get 19 degrees on the thermometer. Then, Friday, high of 33, and it looks like 2 or 3 inches of snow overnight for most. That ends by noon on Saturday, and we get a high of 29 degrees. Winds will generally still be around to keep people inside. Sunset today will be at 5:39 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 6:16 a.m. Looking way up, we see X-class flare chances are at 10%. A possible CME impact today could spark some G1 class storms. A glancing blow, nothing major. Tis but a scratch. Solar wind speed is currently 473 kilometers per second at 7.7 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 8 megahertz for long-range communications until dark, then fair below 60 megahertz overnight, with good conditions below 5 megahertz. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2.3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 191. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate.
Wake up! Wake up, wake up, wake up! Up you wake, up you wake, up you wake, up you wake! This is Mr. Senior Love Daddy, your voice of choice. The world's only 12-hour strong man on the air, here on We Love Radio.
Karen.
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 Karen,
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 thank you.
from Troy. That's Ben Saritin. The song's called Fog Rolls Out Raboon Gap from the 2021 album Cicada Waves.
Welcome to 2023 Talks, where we are following our democracy in historic times.
In Ohio, we set the example for other states to follow in many ways with the way that we run elections.
Ohio Secretary of State Frank LaRose says elections in his state are safe and secure. Still, LaRose has threatened to withdraw Ohio from a national system to ensure accurate voter lists and prevent voter fraud. Election officials in Florida, Missouri, and West Virginia have already announced they will leave the bipartisan-run program this week. Former President Trump is encouraging all GOP-led states to follow suit. Members of the Congressional Hispanic Caucus will meet with Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas after reports the Biden administration could reinstate a migrant family detention policy. Representative Luis Gutierrez of Illinois calls it un-American.
You should not be punished after you've already been punished because there is no protection in the country you are fleeing from.
Democrats criticized the previous administration for instating the policy, calling it inhumane. Gigi Sohn, President Biden's pick to head the Federal Communications Commission, has withdrawn her nomination after a more than year-long lobbying battle to block her appointment.
I believe deeply that regulated entities should not choose their regulator.
Sohn cited unrelenting attacks on her character as the reason. President Biden has proposed new taxes on the wealthy to help fund Medicare, saying it would help extend the insurance program's solvency by 25 years. White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre says Biden will not raise taxes on incomes below $400,000.
And he will not cut benefits for any seniors, but he will make sure Medicare is there for people who earned it through their work.
Biden's proposed Medicare changes are part of a larger budget plan to be released later this week. Fox News host Tucker Carlson has released the first installment of never-before-seen footage from the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol.
The tape that we reviewed from within the building on that day proves it was neither an insurrection nor deadly.
Lawmakers from both parties have condemned House Speaker Kevin McCarthy's decision to give Carlson exclusive access to the footage without full vetting by Capitol Police. California Governor Gavin Newsom says his state will no longer do business with the pharmacy chain Walgreens following its recent announcement that it will not sell abortion pills in some states where abortion is still legal.
Grateful I represent a state that's fighting for freedom, fighting for reproductive rights.
Meanwhile, Florida Republicans have introduced legislation to ban abortion after 6 weeks into a pregnancy, a time when many women don't yet know they are pregnant. And Democrat Jennifer McClellan was sworn in Tuesday, making her the first black woman to represent Virginia in Congress. I'm Catherine Carley for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Because there are so many efforts around the country to restrict the vote, our reports are often negative. Today, we have a good news story from Minnesota, where as many as 55,000 more citizens can now vote. Previous law in Minnesota prohibited incarcerated felons from voting, but also returning citizens who had been released on parole or some type of court-ordered supervision. With Governor Tim Walz's signing of the SF-26 Restore the Vote bill last week, those formerly incarcerated citizens can vote beginning July 1, 2023, even if they're on parole, and unlike some states, even if they'd been convicted of a violent crime. Minnesota becomes the 21st state to restore voting upon release of felony incarceration. According to the National Conference of State Legislatures, 16 other states don't return voting rights until after parole is completed. Another 11 require a pardon from a judge, board, or governor, depending on the state. While some states returning felon voting rights laws have been changed by legislatures, others, like Florida, have been changed by a citizen ballot initiative. When rights were restored, though, some states, including Florida, added voter suppression hurdles like fee and restitution repayment and additional waiting periods. New Mexico and Nebraska are also considering their own returning felon legislation this year. We have articles and resources on restoring voting rights to felons at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You see, I was gonna see my baby.
review of nonprofit hospitals in New York finds they're more concerned with making money than patient care, according to PatientRightsAdvocate.org's survey of over 2,000 hospitals nationwide. Only 6 of 101 New York hospitals reviewed complied with federal regulations requiring all hospitals to post prices online, as well as making them easily accessible. Dr. Donna Christensen with Consumers for Quality Care notes some people delay care because of these factors. She describes what needs to be done to ensure nonprofit hospitals start improving.
Hospitals need to adhere to the requirements by law that IRS has placed on them for their tax benefits to provide that care and to make sure that they are able to show where they have spent some of their savings on providing charity care.
A bill to begin holding nonprofit hospitals accountable was introduced in the U.S. House of Representatives in 2022. Additional information from the Loan Institute Hospitals Index finds New York hospitals have a fair share deficit over $1.6 billion. This means they took in tax breaks that were well over what they spent on community benefits and charity care for low-income patients. Christensen notes nonprofit hospitals are required to work with low-income patients to ensure they can afford care. But data from the RAND Corporation finds patients with private insurance are charged 301% more on average than Medicare patients. She says nonprofit hospitals know what they're supposed to do, but it comes down to a matter of actually doing it.
Some of them would spend some of that money on creating new entities or services that provide more income or increasing the salaries of their executives, and not fulfilling their obligations to the lower income and more needy people in their community.
She notes predatory medical debt collection tactics by nonprofit hospitals need to be regulated too. According to the Community Service Society's Discharged in Debt report, 112 nonprofit hospitals sued over 53,000 patients across the state between 2015 and 2020. But in 2022, two bills were signed by Governor Kathy Hochul to ban medical liens and wage garnishment and to regulate the billing of facility fees. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
A new study shows that those homes located next to a large solar array may have property values declined by about 1.5%. A record 4.2 gigawatts of large storage capacity was installed in the U.S. in 2022, and it shows that the new study shows that the boom is really just beginning in storage. And corporate contracts for renewable energy are up a remarkable 45% over the last 12 months, mainly driven by high-tech companies. I'm Jay Warmke with Blue Rock Station, and this is the news from the solar industry for the week of March 6th. All right, well, a study by Berkeley Labs found that those residences that are located within half a mile of a large solar array versus 4 miles away from a large solar farm may see property values decline by up to 1.5%. But the study is not as clear-cut as that. Now, what they did is they studied facilities or homes near large arrays in six different states. They were California, Connecticut, Massachusetts, Minnesota, New Jersey, and North Carolina. They found that in three of those states, they did see property declines when located near a large solar array. For instance, in Minnesota, property values were down about 4%. In North Carolina, they were down about 5.8%, and in New Jersey, down about 5.6%. But in California, Connecticut, Massachusetts, didn't seem to have any kind of impact on property value. Another factor was what was on the land prior to the solar array being developed. Now, property values were affected if it was a low-density population area and agricultural land. But if the site that was developed was industrial or a brownfield or an urban type setting, then that had no impact on property values at all. A study by S&P Global Market Research noted that large storage grew by 4.2 gigawatts in 2022. That's up about 29% from 2021. But it looks like the boom in storage is just beginning. In fact, of the systems that were installed in 2022, only about 46% of them were actually installed. The rest were delayed because of supply chain issues. And this study goes on to project that while we saw about 4 gigawatts installed in 2022, we're looking at about 62 gigawatts of storage capacity. And these are primarily large storage facilities located or co-located with renewable energy generating facilities like solar arrays or wind farms. But they're looking at about 62 gigawatts being installed over the next 5 years. Corporate renewable energy contracts were up an astounding 45% over the last 12 months. Now, what this is when corporations contract with developers to supply them with renewable energy to meet their needs. This, again, by a study from S&P Global Market Research, they found that high-tech companies and companies like Amazon led the way. Amazon demonstrated about 15 gigawatts of contracts over the last 12 months. This was followed by Meta, which is Facebook's parent company. They had about 8 gigawatts. Google, Microsoft, and Verizon round out the top five. The largest growth sector, of course, was within the high-tech industry, looking to offset their energy use with renewables, followed by telecommunications, and then followed third by manufacturing. The U.S. Department of Treasury issued guidelines on some of the provisions from the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA. Specifically, what they were trying to define is just what qualifies as low income for the 10% additional kicker for energy tax credits. They did cap the annual amount that would qualify for these credits at 1.8 gigawatts. And the low-income residential projects will get first priority. If they don't allocate all of the funds in a given year, those funds will then roll over to subsequent years. Data from the EIA showed that renewable energy generation grew by about 12.5% in 2022. Solar grew by 24% over that same time period. It now accounts, renewables account for about 23% of the generation that's seen on the U.S. grid. And in a separate study, they found that in 2021, about 90% of all of the generating facilities installed in the U.S. were renewable. Solar led the way with 56%, wind 44%, and natural gas with about 10% of the generating capacity. And that's the news from the solar industry for this week. We'll see you next week. Thank you.
new study shows rural New York is struggling with declining populations and lacking employment. The state of rural New York examines about a decade's worth of data, and rural counties experienced a population decline of 50,000 people. This was twice the rate of urban counties in the state. Other issues rural areas are facing include aging housing stock, which isn't designed for seniors or people with limited mobility. Mike Borges with the Rural Housing Coalition of New York says one part of the solution to revitalize rural counties begins with better funding for numerous programs, including those that allow people to age in place.
We are advocating for more funding for Access to Home, Restore, which are two programs that allow the disabled and senior citizens to stay in their homes and do repairs and make the homes more accessible to the disabled so they can stay in their communities.
He adds other solutions are providing funding to rural communities for small rental development projects and affordable workforce housing. A 2020 report shows the Lake Placid community has an unmet need of over 1,500 workforce and affordable housing units. Borges notes housing is important to bringing and keeping economic opportunities in rural areas. According to the report, rural counties have just over 2 million housing units, compared with the 6.3 million in urban counties. Between 2011 and 2020, these numbers increased, but rural counties are shown to have an 18% vacancy rate. He says the key to getting people back in rural areas is better housing.
If we want to reverse the population loss, particularly here in New York State, we need to do a better job of building more housing and preserving housing in rural communities to reverse that decline. Again, housing is going to be a number one issue to address, along with economic opportunity.
One challenge Borges sees in accomplishing these changes is the lack of representation in New York State's government that's dedicated to rural issues. He thinks reviving the Office of Rural Affairs, which developed recommendations for the elected officials on policies and plans to meet rural communities' needs, would ensure rural issues are being thoroughly addressed. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org. lawmakers have introduced a bill to ban radioactive waste from being discharged from the Indian Point Energy Center. This comes as the facility's owner, Holtec International, is considering dumping treated, but still radioactive, waste into the Hudson River. The river has a history of pollutants being dumped into it, and some 200 river miles are classified as a Superfund site by the EPA. During a forum about the implications of Holtec's actions, physicist Dr. Helen Caldicott describes some of what could end up in the Hudson, such as tritium.
You can't remove tritium from water because tritium becomes part of the water, H3O instead of H2O. Tritium gets out into the atmosphere from nuclear power plants, and if you're immersed in a cloud of fog near a nuclear power plant, the tritium in the fog can actually enter the skin.
The bill has been introduced by State Senator Peter Harkham. It would fine violators $25,000 a day if caught dumping radiological agents into New York State waters. Second violation fines would increase to $50,000 a day. The bill is under review in the State Senate Environmental Conservation Committee. Up to this point, Holtec International has worked closely with state agencies to ensure a safe process based partly on the joint proposal to decommission Indian Point. Dr. Diane Turco with Cape Downwinders says this is a moment when elected officials need to stand up for their constituents.
Let's see, can our laws really protect the people? And can our legislators and our elected officials do the best for the people? This is a real big test.
Earlier this month, at a meeting of the Indian Point Closure Task Force and Decommissioning Oversight Board, residents spoke against dumping the waste and recommended other methods. One option is leaving the waste in tanks on site so radioactive agents are safer to remove. Others include transferring it to out-of-state sites and possibly allowing the wastewater to evaporate. I'm Edwin J. Vieira, New York News Connection. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
This song doesn't have a chorus that sing along. We'll be right back.